Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Hey, yesterday, my wife and I and my family, we got to serve at the Arms of Love Foster Care Christmas party. Yeah, you can give it up for that. So usually, I mean, you know, this time of year, life is insane. And so if you don't plan on doing something, you're not going to do it. So this year, my wife and I, we planned on it. We're like, we're not going to miss it this year. We've never been. We're going to put it in our calendar, and we're going to make sure that we can go. So we did that. If you have never served at this outreach, it's a party for families that have, they're either fostering or they were fostering and they've adopted. Sorry, I was running. I'm a little out of shape. It's Christmas time. That's allowed, right? More padding to build up for the winter. But we went and served, and it's such a blessing. You know, Jesus never did anything for himself. It was always for others. We do a lot of outreach because our heart is other people. That's our heart. Is we live in a world that is lost and hurting and desperately needs Jesus. And what better way to do that sometimes is just to be a smiley face and to help a family who's taken such a huge thing by fostering and come alongside them and providing a great day of fun and love and just relief and smiles. I was talking to one family yesterday, and I was asking about the whole the process they've gone through with different kids. And one of the kids, they were just going to take in for a weekend while the family went out of town. Well, the family dropped off the little boy with his clothes. They went out of town, and then they called and said, "We're not taking the kid back." Oh! And these families who are taking in loved ones, little ones, it just was an amazing, amazing. So that you know that as a church, you helped them a lot. We helped fund all their bounce houses. We helped fund food, all the different things. And so when they have a need, we're like, yes, let's help these families, because they're doing exactly what Jesus did. Jesus said, love the fatherless and love the children. He said that, so we do it. So thank you, thank you, thank you for giving. So if you ever want to see what the other end of your dollar looks like, come someday. Next year, it'll be in December again. It's going to happen again, because they do it every year, unless God comes back. That would be great. But it was just fun. My family and I, we had a great time. And of the 90 volunteers, 50 of them were from City View. So that was just like, my heart was full yesterday. So when Eden said, am I tired? I'm not. I'm like overjoyed. It's just like, it was cool. I wasn't even tired last night. And then I woke up still at 4 o'clock this morning. So, yeah. So I don't know how many of you have ever seen the movie Titanic. I don't know if you want to admit that you've seen it or not. I have seen it. I'm not going to say it was a great movie. Well, it wasn't. I did not. I thought it was lame. But if it's your favorite movie, I'm sorry. You have poor taste in movies. I'm kidding. Kidding. Sort of. But you'd probably say the same thing about my choice in movies. But so there's a scene in the movie where, if you've never seen it, I'm going to ruin the end for you. Jack dies. So he the boat sank, Titanic. If you didn't know that part, Titanic sunk. So he's on this raft talking to Rose, and he says, "Tell me you're never going to let go." She says, "I'm never going to let you go." And then all of a sudden the boat comes to save her, and she lets him go. He sinks down to the bottom, and he's dead. And I'm just like, wow. Have you ever had that moment in life where you felt like a friend was always going to be there, and at some point, all of a sudden, they're not? They've always said, "Hey, man, I got your back." Hey, whatever girls say about having each other's back. Guys say, "I have your back." Girls say, "I love you," or something. I don't know. Whatever girls say, but you know that idea of "I've got your back. I'll be there for you." You know, we're whatever, and then there's that moment that you need them. There's that moment in your life where you are in desperate need, where you are broken and you are hurting, and you need them, and they're not there. they can't be there, they don't plan on being there, and you've called them, you've reached out to them, or maybe it's that moment where they said, how are you doing? And you said, I'm not doing good, and they're like, I'll pray for you, and they walk away, and you're like, you're my friend. In the moment I say, I'm not doing good, I need you to acknowledge that. How many of you have ever been there at that moment? Where maybe you feel like you're Jack and you just said, never let me go. And Rose says, okay, I'll never let you go. And then all of a sudden, the boat shines, the whistle blows, and she's like, help, Jack, I gotta let you go because I gotta get saved over here. I'm cold. You know, I think we all have those moments. But do we allow our idea of how people might let us down to affect how we think? Will Jesus let me down? Do we let how people in our lives, do we let those things affect our way of thinking about Jesus? Because Jesus does promise that he will never let us down, that he will never let us go, and that he will always be our Savior, and he will always be there for us. What if we lived each and every day expecting that Jesus is always with us? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning, and Lord, I ask that you would meet us right here in this movie theater right now. Lord, I pray that as there are people at churches all over the valley, Lord, God, that you'd meet them. God, that you'd speak through the different pastors, Lord. Chris over at Wellspring and Dwayne over at, I cannot even think of his church's name right now. Life Givers, that's what it's called, Life Givers. Joshua over at Refuge and Mark over at Calvary and Ashley at CCV, Lord, and God, I just ask that you'd speak through these different people, Lord, that you have speaking to your people. Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us at City View this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. So right now, we're in a series called Great Expectations, and we're looking at different people that are involved in Jesus' life and the expectations that they had on Jesus. The expectations that they would have had as Jesus getting ready to be born, these expectations. And we all have expectations in life for different things. We have expectations for people. Somebody says, I'll be there for you. We expect them to be there for us. If you hire somebody and they say, okay, you got to be here at 8 in the morning, you expect them to be there at 8 in the morning. But when people let us down, so many times we allow those same thoughts of people to affect our thought of God and say, well, God, if they let me down and they're a Christian, will you let me down? So we're going to look at Joseph. And what were the expectations Joseph had on Jesus? Verse 18 says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. So we meet Joseph. Joseph and Mary, and we don't really know how their engagement happened. We don't know how this whole process happened. And sometimes in that culture, it was where a mom and a dad, and I know there are parents out here, where like, hey, you know what? My daughter's going to marry your son. They're brand new babies, and you know, just make that decision because the son is cute and the daughter's cute. They're babies. Wait until they grow up. Who knows what they're going to look like in 15 years? And you got to watch those parents because some parents are crazy. But either way, and so you make this decision, and we do it for fun, but in reality, in this day, people did it for real. People are like, okay, you are a great farmer, and you've got a lot of land, and your daughter's probably going to be great, so how about you marry my son, because I'm a rancher, and I've got a lot of cattle, and together we're a powerhouse of cattle farmer guys, and my son will marry your daughter, and that sort of might have been that way. It might have been Joseph, Saul, Mary, and it's like, I really like her a lot, and I'll offer you 5 cows, 4 chickens, 2 goats, and a pig. And if you were at yesterday's thing, they had baby pigs or little pigs. I don't know what they were, but they were little pigs. And they were the cutest things in the world. And it was hard because bacon was cooking in the room right next door. And you just want to be like, when you grow up to be big and strong, one day you'll be in the warm room. But they were cute. They were cute little pigs. They were. I don't know. I don't know how the whole thing went. So you went through this process of a betrothal, and then you were engaged, and it was a 1 year long of a promise that we're going to get married. It was this 1 year of stint of time, and then you'd get married. And so it was somewhere in this 1 year process of where they have already said they were going to be married. All that was done, and now it was that last year that Joseph had to wait to finally be with his wife, to finally be with this girl that he's been waiting for. If anything, it could be from the moment they were born, they were promised to each other. We don't know, but he's been waiting, anxiously awaiting. Then he finds out she's pregnant. It's assumed that she probably made some choice and she slept around. Or she had some relationship with somebody else. We don't really know, but we know that Joseph is not thinking this is a God thing. This is a man thing. And so he's trying to figure out, what do I do? I hadn't heard from God, and Mary's talking about the Holy Spirit telling her that she's pregnant by God, and God hasn't told me, so what am I supposed to do now in this situation? And then we see a glimpse of Joseph's character. If you look there, it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man, a righteous man. Guys in here, I ask you, what's your reputation? Men, what are you known for? Men, what is said about you behind closed doors? I listened to this podcast this week, and Craig Groeschel was interviewing Lisa Turkhurst, and she was talking about leadership, and she was talking about my son's favorite coach, which is Nick Saban, and how Nick Saban was interviewed once about how does he pick kids to be on his team. And he said, when it comes down to, we have the ones that we're going to have, and when it comes down looking at all these kids, and he goes, and I get the best of the best. That's who wants to come to my school. He goes, and I have two stacks. I have the ands and I have the buts. He goes, the buts are the kids that they're an amazing wide receiver. They are crazy fast, but they don't listen to the coach. But they don't show up on time. But they miss practice. He goes, and then I have my and pile. My and pile is they're an amazing wide receiver. They are crazy fast and they are humble. And they are always on time. They get there early and they stay late. He goes, and that's how I decide who's going to be on my team. I want ands on my team, not buts on my team. And men in here, I ask you, what categorizes you? What is your character? What would be written of you in one verse, in one place? We see that Joseph was a righteous man. That's all we know about him. That's it. We know that he was a righteous man. That's what was spoken about him. That's what was whispered about him. It said Joseph was a carpenter and a righteous man. So, men, I ask you, what is your reputation? How would your wife define you? He's really into himself. He works all the time. He's distant. He's distracted. Or would she say he's devoted? He's selfless. He's righteous. What do your actions tell about you? If somebody were to sit you down, I remember this episode in The Office where Michael wants to raise up the morale of everybody, and he says, okay, we're going to do a hot seat where everybody gets to say something. What is it called? A roast. Everybody's going to say something about me. And so they roast him, and he sits on this pallet thing, and everybody starts berating him, and Oscar yells at him in Spanish, and it's hilarious because I have no clue what he's saying either. But you know he's mad, and at the end of the whole scene, Michael, his feelings get hurt because they're honest with him. What if you were in that seat? You know, I think if our world was full of righteous men, just men in this room, if we decide, you know what, God, I want to be who you've called me to be. I want to live the life you called me to live. I want to get rid of the distractions that I know that are keeping me from the life you've called me to live. God, I don't want to be the way I am. I want to be who you want me to be. God, I want to change. Imagine if we were defined like Joseph. He was a mechanic and a righteous man. Imagine how the world would change. Imagine. If someone watched you for 1 week and they just looked and saw your life. So Joseph was known as a righteous man, but we know he loved Mary. He loved Mary. But to protect her and everything, he didn't know what happened. He decided to divorce her privately. Normally, when you get engaged, it's a very public thing. We're engaged. You know, people nowadays, you look at engagements, and it's all over social media. And if you don't have a photographer there while you're getting engaged and you're getting ready to do the whole ring thing, and you're like, hey, will you marry? Hey, you got the camera ready? Okay. Will you marry me? And all of a sudden, you know, the paparazzi pops out, and everybody's like, her nails have got to be done, so you got to make sure that her girlfriends know, hey, we should go get your nails done this week. Why? I don't know. Just for fun. Because... whatever. But it's a very public thing, and then you immediately post on social media, and everybody knows, oh my goodness, that was the cutest engagement. No, that was the cutest planned engagement you've ever seen in your life. My wife didn't know she was getting engaged, but I had to tell my father-in-law. I had to talk to him, and man, that was one of the scariest things of my life. Not that he's scary, but I just was scared. It's a whole other story. It has nothing to do with my message. Normally, the saying, hey, we're not going to get married, would be a very public thing. But Joseph being a righteous man and loving Mary, but knowing, okay, this can't be, he decided to do it very privately. Men, I ask you, how do you treat your wife publicly? And how do you speak about her publicly? And then I ask you, how do you speak about your wife privately? And how do you treat her privately? Because those are very key. What you say out front, you know, you don't want to be disrespectful. My dad told me one time, you don't want to ever treat your wife the way you would treat her in your own home, like in your bedroom. You don't want to be smacking her on the tushy or whatever, being too, I don't know what forms of whatever I'm trying to say. But what I'm saying is, have you ever seen those guys that just sort of grope their women in the middle of their women, their girlfriend or husband, in the middle of public? You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about a kiss. I'm talking about, like, straight up disgusting. Where if your grandma's there, she'd be like, get a room! So I ask you, girls, how does your boyfriend treat you publicly? And how does he treat you privately? So Joseph, desiring to be an honorable man, desiring to be a man that's righteous, and desiring to be a man full of grace, decided, I'm going to do it publicly or privately. I don't want to dishonor her. He could have. And so it says in verse 20, as he considered this, that meant he paused before he reacted. I am not always great at that. I am a reactor, and then I pause and come back and say, I'm sorry. But see, Joseph, we see he was not a reactor. He was a pauser. He considered. He said, you know what? I know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to wait. I need to think about my action. I need to think about what I'm about to do. He considered. He didn't just throw it all out and say, you know what? Fine, Mary. You want to go sleep around with whatever? Fine. No, he didn't. So he paused. Men, we can learn a lot from one word. Consider. This would help in all of us in so many areas of life. Consider somebody's late to work. Somebody's late serving at church. For those of you who serve and those who lead a ministry, if somebody's late, You're just like, they probably slept in. We immediately think the negative and thinking, you know what, maybe they had a tough night. Maybe they had a real, maybe something happened. Maybe they weren't feeling good. And so they're still here. They're 15 minutes late, but maybe it was a hard night. Who knows? But we immediately go, what if we immediately considered the positive? And so it says he considered and he went to bed. Because I think that's always key. It's good to get rest. So it says he considered, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I wish angels would appear to me in dreams. And he said, Joseph, son of David. So in the dream, as soon as he says, son of David, Joseph would know this means business. He's calling me by the lineage of being a son of David, of being in the line of the king. He's not saying, hey, Joseph, dude. He says, hey, Joseph, son of David, you are in the lineage of King David. Pay attention. So Joseph, at this moment in the dream, is like, oh, what is going on right now? Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This wasn't an easy decision for him. You know, there are reputations on the line. His reputation, her reputation, the child's reputation. And even if you look into the future, you look into what was written later on as Jesus is now an adult. It says in John, you're not going to have this passage. I'm sorry. I added it this morning. John chapter 8, verse 19 says, these guys say, hey, Jesus, where is your father? They asked. And Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my father is. If you knew me, you would also know my father. But they're not saying it like, hey, where's your daddy now? They're saying, hey, where is your dad? You have no dad because you're an illegitimate child. That's what they're saying to Jesus right now. The reputation that his dad, that Joseph, was worried about is now happening. And it says also in John chapter 8, verse 41, says, no, you are imitating your real father. They replied, we aren't illegitimate children. You can think of a kind of bad word type of saying of what they're saying here. So Joseph has these worries and these problems, and this angel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Verse 21, it says, and she will have a son. He's still dreaming. He's still sleeping. She will have a son, and you, Joseph, you are to name him Jesus. Yes, it's a common name, Joseph. Joseph was like, my 12 buddies, they all have sons named Jesus. Why such a common name? And he says, for he will answer what his name means. You can expect everything out of his name. My name, Jeremiah, means appointed by God. My last name means baker of white bread. I was appointed by God to bake white bread. Jeremiah Semler. I don't know how to bake bread. I eat it. But it says, Jesus, for he will save. This is key. Not the people of Israel. He doesn't go small. He says he will save his people. That's the people that God has chosen to be his children. The people that will choose God to love him, that will choose to follow him. That's what is being talking about here. That's what's being spoken of. For he will save his people. That's anybody who has that faith in Jesus Christ for their sins. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message. He's still dreaming through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. Another name that was known. But he says, which means God with us, that's who Jesus will be. Not only will he save his people, but that means God is with you. These are expectations you can have on your son. These are things that you can expect out of him, that he will save his people and that he will never leave you. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. So the angel lays it all out for him. Mary, she's going to have a son. And he says, Joseph, I have a big thing to ask of you. I'm asking you to be his stepdad. I know there's some of you in here, you're stepdads. Joseph, Jesus' dad, was a stepdad. Some of us, we think of it as, I'm just getting baggage. I'm getting something like that. God didn't say, hey, will you please take Mary's baggage? He says, this will be her son, and he's going to save the people. Will you be his dad? I know some of you, this applies to you, a stepdad type of idea. It is such a huge responsibility. It is such an honorable responsibility to be a stepdad. To be a dad that comes in and maybe this isn't your blood, but Joseph never thought, is this my blood? How was Jesus categorized? You are the son of a carpenter. They all looked at Joseph as his dad. It's an honorable privilege, and Jesus and Joseph is asked to take up this responsibility, and not just for any kids, but for God's son. He says, in his name will be, God is my salvation. And the angel says in the stream, he says, and this is to answer what Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 7:14. All right, then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph is given a few things to expect. Number one, that Jesus will save his people. Number two, that God will be with us. You know, we, worship team, you can come on up. We have movies that are all about superheroes now and how good they are and how awesome they will be and how they will save us and how they will do all these things. And we look at these heroes and we think, are there heroes like that today? And then we look at firefighters and police officers and all these things that we look at as a hero, as somebody who will save the people. But the thing is, they all have weaknesses. We cheer when they win. We're sad when they lose, but they all have their weaknesses. Superman, you get one stick of kryptonite, anybody is stronger than Superman. All you need is a little bit. You just put it over by him, you're like, eh, what are you going to do to me now? And he's like, oh, I can't fight. I mean, what kind of superhero is that? You go, Batman, take away his toys, take away his million. Who is he? He's just a poor guy now. He's like the rest of us. Take away my toys and all my money, I mean, what do I got? Without Jesus, I've got nothing. You got Spider-Man, he's still a kid in a costume. You got Iron Man, he's just got a fancy suit. You got Thor, he's a god that still can possibly die. You got Jesus, who everybody thought he died, but he rose again. And he said, nothing can kill me. And nothing can keep me from loving you. And nothing can keep me from being there for you. Jesus proved, not only am I your Savior, but I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be there. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, it says, this high priest of ours, Jesus, understands our weakness. He gets us. And that's why the angel in that dream said, don't be afraid, because I know Joseph was so scared. He's like, I've invested a lot in this girl. I've invested time. I love her. I'm risking her reputation, my reputation, because people are more than likely going to believe me. They're not going to believe her. She's going to be shunned. She's going to be everything. She's going to lose everything. He's scared. We see Jesus knows our weakness, and it says, this high priest, Jesus, he understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So what does it say? Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You see, we can have great expectations for Jesus. we can expect him to be our Savior. Because he did. He already died. He died for all of mankind. Jesus loved the world so much that he gave everything up. Everything up. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, we can live each and every day expecting Jesus as Savior, and that Jesus will always be with us. So when Joseph woke up, he said, you know what? I believe you. He went right to Mary and said, I don't know. I don't know how this happened, but I believe you, Mary. I believe that the Holy Spirit did something crazy, and I believe that the Son growing inside you is of God. And I already know his name. We're going to name our son Jesus. Because I have great expectations for our son. God told me that he will save his people. And that he will be our Emmanuel. God with us.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityView PHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.